He'll come and bring us our reading from Acts chapter 1 this morning. Thank you, Nigel.
Our reading this morning is from Acts chapter 1, and we'll be reading the first 11 verses. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven."
Thanks, Nigel. 2 weeks ago, in a Sunday evening, we read this passage. And as we read it, I had one of those relatively rare experiences where a few words really kind of hit me between the eyes from the Bible. I don't know if you have that. I hope you do, because it's what we should do, because it's the way it's God speaking to us. I had one of those things, and I sensed at that moment, and those of you who were here that evening will remember, I paused before I preached. I need to write something down. I needed to write down what I felt God was saying to me to share with you. I knew immediately when I needed to speak it, which was this morning. Since it's a word from the Lord to us, to me as an individual, and to us as a church, as a group of individuals, the words were in verse 5 of the chapter here. I'll read them again. "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be," and this is the word, "baptized with the Holy Spirit." John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. There are different ways in which God speaks. Sometimes it's very ordinarily, and we hardly realize it's God speaking to us. I wonder if you've heard God speak to you this morning. You have, you know. God has spoken to you this morning. We just read the Bible. This is God's word. Every time you read the Bible, that's God speaking to you. Often it's not dramatic. Often we don't realize that's what's happening, because there's no kind of tingly feelings. There's nothing that kind of really grips you. Every time you read the Bible, you're hearing God speak. This is God's word. Okay? So never say, "I wish God would speak to me." If God's not speaking to you, it means you're not reading the Bible. Every time you read the Bible, it's God speaking to you. It's his word. But there are other times when he speaks in the way that I've just related to you that I think he spoke to me two Sunday evenings ago. When you read something and you just know, something comes alive, something sparks, there's a particular word, it comes, it's like, this is what I need now. Most of you will have experienced that at one time or another. If you're a Christian, there will have been a time or there will have been times when it may have been right at the start when you became a Christian. You might have, some of you will testify to the experience in church, and it's like nobody else was there, but God was speaking to you. Like the preacher was just got words for you. That's how people describe it sometimes. Others can't remember a time like that. But you'll go back and you should know a time when you realized in your heart that you did believe. You had that sense. I can't remember a dramatic time. I can't remember, you know, I can't put a time, a day or a date or an hour to the time when I became, when I first believed. But at this moment, I know I do believe. It's God's Spirit moving, speaking. So you will have known God speaking to you. The most exciting times are those individual times when God speaks a specific word, a verse jumps out to you. It's called a rhema word, a now word from the Lord. I want to encourage you to pray that God will speak in that way. Don't despise the other ways in which God speaks. Don't despise the ordinary. Make use of the Bible. Read it every day. But when you read it, pray that God will speak in a knowing way. You'll all have different circumstances. Some of you will have situations in your families. Some of you will have situations at work. Some of you will be making decisions. Some of you will have concerns about money. Some concerns about relationships. Others of you will have ongoing concerns about health. And maybe you don't talk to other people about it. Talk to God about it. And as you read the Bible, read it with a sense. When you start to read, sorry, this is a long preamble this morning, but this is the kind of, I think this is the kind of message it's going to be. But read it in a sense of saying, God, speak to me. Speak to me. Give me a word. Give me a message. Give me a promise. Something from yourself. Tell me something. Teach me something about yourself in what I'm reading this morning. And you'll be surprised then at what God is doing. We come to this specific word this morning, that you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you what I thought when I read that. What came to my mind was this whole idea of being baptized. And you know, we're Baptists. We know a lot about baptism, don't we? It's about being immersed. It's about being put under the water. And the word that came to my mind was overwhelmed. When you're baptized, when you're put under water, you're overwhelmed with water. John baptized with water. Jesus said, when I go, I will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. I will overwhelm you. I will immerse you. I will cover you over with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was talking to Christians at this point. For some of us, this is important. Jesus was talking to his disciples, to people who were his witnesses to his life and his death and his resurrection. He was talking to people who he'd met with and had seen, they had seen many convincing proofs of who he was, that he was alive, that he'd come back to life again. At this point, they were in no doubt who he was. They had put a personal faith and trust in him. They had pledged their lives to him. They'd asked him to forgive them. They'd trusted him as their Savior and their Lord. They were not frightened, insecure. They were not a beleaguered bunch of people hiding behind closed doors, as the Bible says, for fear of the Jews. That was the night after Jesus was, the day after Jesus was crucified, before he'd come back to life again. At that point, they were terrified, fearing for their own lives. But a lot has happened since then. Jesus has come back from the dead. They've seen him, they've lived with him, they've talked to him, they've eaten with him. He's taught them. These are fully convinced, fully fledged believers, trusting in Jesus. And Jesus says to them, in a few days, you will be baptized, you will be overwhelmed, you will be submerged, so to speak, with the Holy Spirit. And if we read on into the next chapter in Acts, we read that this is a promise that is for every believer. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people, on all my people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, young men will see visions, and old men will dream dreams. Every believer will have this Holy Spirit coming on them. And you see, we need Him. We need Him. Him being God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead. This is God the Holy Spirit we're talking about. This is not some mystical spirit. This is not some inanimate kind of thing. This is God the Holy Spirit. And we need Him like they needed Him. Jesus said to them, when He comes to you, you will receive power. And you will be my witnesses. And those things. We need Him as they did. For we have the same mission. We have the same commission. We've got the same role to play. He said, you will be my witnesses. What are we? We are God's witnesses. That's why we're here. Above everything else. Everything else, we are here to be God's witnesses, to witness for God. If our chief thing was on earth was to get holy, well, it would be better. We'll get holy in heaven, won't we? It'd be better, in, you know, I think we'll be changed more quickly in heaven, won't we? If it was so that we could worship, well, worship is great. I love worship. Love our music team. But we'll worship better in heaven. The one thing that we can do down here that we won't be able to do in heaven is to witness for Jesus to unbelievers. So I want you to be my witnesses. Have you realized that that is your number one reason? As a Christian, that is your number one priority in life. It is to live for Him. That's why He saved you. If you're saved this morning, that's why He saved you. Now, I know there are other blessings along the way. You know, He brings us peace. He brings us comfort. He helps us and, you know, He helps us make good decisions and He changes our lives so that it improves our relationships and our finances and all of those kind of things. You know, sometimes He'll heal us. That's wonderful. All of those kind of things. But ultimately, that's not why He saved you. He didn't just save you so that your life could be better. Ultimately, He saved you for Him because He wants you to work with Him, to glorify Him. To let other people know. So your life is to be lived in a way that draws people to Jesus, that attracts people to Jesus. So that when they see you, they're thinking, that's what I want. Huge challenge, isn't it? Huge challenge, because everything about our culture tends to make us want to live for ourselves. But we're not. We belong to God. We've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. We live. We have our existence down here on earth. This is our great purpose. To glorify Him. And to do that, we have to put effort in. We have to be intentional. We have to make decisions. We have to work hard. We have to do all of those things. But there's only so much we can do. You see, those early disciples that Jesus was talking to, in a few days' time, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. If there was anybody that was going to change the world, it would have been them. They were there. They saw Jesus. They'd heard Him. They were pumped up. They were committed. They were ready. They were, you know, let's bring it on. Let's rock and roll. Let's get on with this. Jesus says, no, not yet. Wait in Jerusalem. Do not do anything until the Holy Spirit comes. See, they were committed. They'd got oodles of enthusiasm. But he tells them to wait. We can be committed. We can have oodles of enthusiasm. We, you know, we could just be so fired up. But that alone isn't enough. Only after they were baptized with the Holy Spirit could they start the mission and be effective. Once he was poured out on them, everything changed. Then they could get to work. He would take these already committed, already convinced, already enthusiastic people to another level of experience and effectiveness for him. And we need that too. We need that too. Many of us, very committed. I am so grateful to those of you who commit time and effort and energy to the ministry and the work and the witness of this church. I want to say thank you for all that you do. Thank you for those of you who I know when I call you, when I phone you up, when I send a text, you'll be there, you'll do it, you're willing. I say thank you for all of that. But that alone will not make us effective. We, like those early disciples, need the Holy Spirit. What I'm saying here, what God is saying to us, is that this isn't just something that happens at the beginning when we get converted. We do have the Holy Spirit. You can't be a Christian without having the Holy Spirit in you. But you need constantly to have the power and a filling and an overwhelming of the Holy Spirit. I want to ask the question this morning. This is the question that comes to me. Have you ever been overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit? Or when was the last time you were overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit? I look back in my life and I know there were times when God moved, and I like to think I'm fairly enthusiastic. I like to think I'm fairly passionate. Can't live on passion. You can't be effective through commitment. And you know that because many of you have said to me at times, not often sadly, but last year some of you, many of you said there's something different. We recognized it in our church. God, the Holy Spirit was moving. Things were happening. People were praying. Greater enthusiasm for God. Greater desire for God. Greater desire to grow. Things, physical, practical things were happening. Opportunities opening up. God was moving. Some of you said there's something different about your preaching. I don't think I change. But what I know is this, that above everything else, I need the Holy Spirit. Would you pray that for me? Because you will be the beneficiaries of that. Please pray that I will keep topped up with the Holy Spirit, that I will constantly be filled with the Holy Spirit. I stand here humbly before you this morning and say, Stuart Barmer can do nothing without him. If you want to do one thing that will benefit this church, pray. This is not because I want attention, but I know that I'm utterly dependent upon him. Would you pray for me? Can I ask you that as your pastor? Pray that I will constantly be humble before the Lord and filled with his Spirit. But we all need that. It's not just about me. I need that, yeah, but you need that. We each need it. So have you ever had that? Or when was the last time that you had it? You see, the Holy Spirit gave them what they needed. You notice that Jesus said, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. As I said earlier, we're Baptists. We know about baptism. We know what it means. It means to soak. It means to immerse. It means to saturate. It means to overwhelm. I read something I'd never known before this week, but you'll understand why it captured me. Apparently, in New Testament times, when Jesus was around, the word baptized, when they were talking about pickling vegetables, they would baptize them. Now, you know that when I left school, when I was 17, my first job was to work in a factory that made pickles. All right? I was in the quality control department. One of my responsibilities, my chief responsibility, was making sure that the products were of a decent standard. I got to know an awful lot about pickles and making pickles and sauces and, you know, your HP sauces, your browns, and all of those kind of stuff. That was what my job was, making sure that it was done effectively and with good quality. When you pickle something, we didn't just used to pour the vinegar over it. You soak it, so the idea is that the vinegar goes into the vegetable to preserve it. The whole vegetable is changed. That's an aspect of baptism. When the Bible talks about being baptized, it's talking about being changed on the inside as well as just covered over from the outside. When you pickle a vegetable, it's overwhelmed to such a degree that it's changed on the inside. It's no longer the same. Did you know that when you became a Christian, something similar happened to you? When you became a Christian, something happened. The Bible said if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is a Christian, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. It's very easy to think that when we become Christians, it's a choice that we make. But the truth is that God did something fundamental the day that you received Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. He changed you from the inside out. You became a new creature. Something died in you that day. Something came to life in you that day. You were born again, a new person. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. God changed you. It is then inconceivable for a person to become a Christian and carry on just as they were before. Something fundamental changes. The heart changes. It's not just our habits, but our nature. The very essence of what you are becomes a new creature. And that change will bring a desire to follow Jesus. It will bring a desire to honor him. It will bring a desire to please him, to respect him, to delight in him. It has to. Where that's absent, where there is no desire really to follow Jesus, where there is no desire to put him first, where there's no desire to honor and please him, when there's no real change of attitude. There may be changes of behaviors. A person might start to come to church. They might start to say, I'm reading my Bible. They might say, I'm starting to pray. It's not changed in sight. If there's not a heart's desire to follow and please Jesus, then something is wrong. It is crucial that we understand that becoming a Christian is not simply turning over a new leaf and trying to do things differently. Becoming a Christian involves a new heart that will be seen in the way we think about Jesus. It doesn't mean that everything will suddenly become instant, that we'll become perfect people straight away. But there will be a desire to make those changes. There will be a sense of disappointment when we do what we know is wrong. There will be a check that will change, that will a check and a thing going on inside us that will convict us of things that displease God. Where those things aren't there, then we've got to be careful. Could it be that the Lord is speaking to any of us here this morning and we've made the change and we start to come to church. Maybe you've been coming to church for years and years and years, and it's almost too embarrassing now to admit that all this time, actually, it's not happened in here, in there. Listen, eternity is more important than embarrassment. Let me plead with you, get right with the Lord. Take the mask off. Humble yourself and say, God, I'm sorry. I need that new heart, because clearly I'm trying hard, but the change hasn't taken place. Do it before it's too late. Do it while you can. So one of the things that the Lord does is he puts this change in us. And of course, so we have this desire to change, desire to do the right things. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in, where we become a Christian. Everybody is given the Holy Spirit. You can't be a Christian without having the Holy Spirit within you to start with. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He brings an ability. He brings and he works through us with might and with power to do what we couldn't otherwise do. It's his job. It's what he does to bring power, to bring effectiveness, to do what God wants. And that is exactly what we find happens with those believers when he comes to them in this overwhelming sense, in this overwhelming way. We haven't time this morning. Time has gone. But in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, we see that when they prayed, when Jesus left them, they prayed and they ended up and they were deluged with the Holy Spirit. And the work of God took off in their lives and in the life of their ministry as well. In one day, 3,000 people listened to their message and became Christians. 3,000 people, that's more than in 3 years of Jesus' ministry. 3,000 in one day. Interesting, Jesus had previously said, "You will do greater things than I have done." 3,000 people believed and were baptized in one day. After they were baptized or filled, overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit. And the experience isn't a one-off. You could go through a lot of the Acts and you'll find it repeatedly. When people did things, it says, and filled with the Spirit, this happened. And filled with the Spirit, that happened. The Holy Spirit, what he did, he filled the disciples with boldness and bravery and courage and power and effectiveness. But not only those things, but you read the story and you find that these believers became loving and kind and generous and thoughtful and gentle and pure. They grew in a likeness of their Savior Jesus. And it wasn't simply because they tried hard to do what was right. When the Spirit came, when they were overwhelmed with him, when they were filled up, he took control. And things were different. When was the last time you were overwhelmed with the Holy Spirit? When was the last time you just couldn't stop praying? When was the last time you thought, oh good, it's Sunday, get to church today? When was the last time you just wanted to read the Bible? When was the last time you thought, ah, no, I've got to go to work, so I haven't got time to pray this morning? When was the last time it got to 11:45 and you said, I hope he doesn't stop? Oh, I'm going to have to go home again soon. When was the last time you were so in love with Jesus you would have dropped anything for him? Have you ever been like that? Have you ever known that? That's what the Holy Spirit does in us. Overwhelms us. So things aren't the same again. These disciples had this wonderful experience, but do you know what? Just a few days later, they were under threat. They were in danger of being imprisoned. People were after them. Do you know what they did? They got together and they prayed. Do you know what happened? The Bible says that they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Hang on. But they'd already been filled. And yet, a few days later, they're filled again. It tells me that this thing isn't just a one-off thing. People say, are you a second blessing man? Yeah, I'm a second blessing man. But I'm a third blessing, and a fourth blessing, and a fifth blessing person as well. I'm not fussed what labels people want to put on this. I really don't care about labels. I care about Jesus, and I care about his glory, and I care about your well-being spiritually. And I want the best for you. Some of you perhaps sit here and say, I don't know that I've ever had that, Stuart. Some of you say, I remember a few years back, those days. When was the last time you were overwhelmed with the Spirit? It's what we need. It's what Pentecost was about. Being overwhelmed with him, filled with him, equipped by him, emboldened with him. It might be that you've been trying really hard. It's hard being a Christian without the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's hard doing it when you keep trying to do it in your own power. It exhausts you, it tires you out, it makes you frustrated. Maybe that's the way you've been living as a Christian. I'm not doubting your salvation. And I don't want you to doubt your salvation at all either. What I'm saying is it an effort? Is it all, I must do this, I must do that, I've got to do this. And you know, you beat yourself up mercilessly. Holy Spirit wants to come and give you joy. He wants to come and give you the ability to do what you want to do. I've talked enough. I want to stop and I want to give us time to pray. I know what the time is. God's not tied to time. It's a message from the Lord, I think, for us. We're a good, conservative, evangelical, Bible-believing church. Be proud of that. But that is not enough. We've got to have the Holy Spirit as well. Will you pray now? In your own heart, would you open yourself up and just say, Lord, I need you. More of the Holy Spirit to come and take control. You will need to give him access into your heart. You'll need to repent of stuff that's in your life because he is the Holy Spirit and he can't come while there's sin that you know is going on. You know, he can't be at home when there's known sin. But you need to have an open heart and a willingness. Oh Lord, some of us are working really hard, trying really hard to be the people that you want us to be. And it's hard. And it's pretty joyless, Lord, because we're trying to do it in our own strength. For those people, Lord, I want to pray this morning that you'll come and surprise them by your Spirit. Fill them with joy. Fill them up with yourself. Baptize them. Overwhelm them. Many of us are Christians for a long time. We need to be filled again. Oh God, come and fill us who are long in the tooth, dyed in the wool Christians. Fill us, please, again. Fill us again with joy, courage, boldness, love, peace. For those who've never had it, for those who maybe don't understand exactly what we're talking about this morning, give them experience beyond their understanding. And may their understanding catch up in the future. Lord, we want to be consumed. Dear Holy Spirit, please come. Please come into our hearts. Come and do something new today. Find a home here. Find a home in us, your church here, in our hearts individually. Come and take us. Do in us. We don't want to prescribe what to do. But we know there's more. We don't want to walk in the shallows. We just don't want to dip our feet. We don't want to paddle. We want to be able to jump off the edge and swim in the ocean of your love and your grace. We'll be rooted in you, rooted in your word, but we want to have the power of the Holy Spirit. Please, would you come and do that now for some of us? For others of us, you'll probably do it in the quietness of our own home, when we're on a walk, when we're just in our chairs, when we're just reading. Oh God, if this is a word from you, then please make it effective.